Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello, welcome, 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 and indeed welcome to this new episode of the podcast. Do you feel welcome? You should do, because I just said it 10 times. Don't believe me? Go back and count. Anyway, this is the pre-jingle rambly little, tiny little bit, little ramble, okay? I'm not going to make this into I'm not going to make this into a long-running tradition where I go on and on before the jingle. But sometimes, you know, just stuff happens and I have to add something to an episode, you know, before it gets published. And that's what's happening here. So you'll be able to listen to episode 858, Trivia Quizzes with Sarah and Fred, part 2, in just a moment. And hopefully you've been waiting, you know, just thinking to yourself, I can't wait for part 2, but I have to wait because Luke decided to split this into 2 parts. Well, here it is. But before you get that, I just wanted to give a little update on this kind of random competition which has happened regarding the number of minutes that people have been listening to this podcast this year. So what's the story so far? Okay, first of all, it was Erkam who had something in the region of 10,000 minutes. And this information comes from Spotify Unwrapped, that kind of summary that Spotify users get at the end of their year, which tells them about the things that they've been listening to on Spotify, including their podcast listening statistics. And some of my listeners have been sending their Spotify Unwrapped things to me, kind of saying, I really enjoyed listening to the podcast. Check this out. This is how many minutes I listened to the show this year. And it's great. I love that. By the way, other podcast platforms are available. Spotify is just one of the many ways that you can listen to these audio episodes, as you probably know. In fact, most of you listening to this are not using Spotify. You're going, what is all this Spotify stuff? Is it Spotify now? Is that the place? No, it doesn't have to be. In fact, most people listening to this audio episode right now are probably using the Apple Podcasts app on an iPhone, right? That's the most popular platform which people use to listen to this. But then also the podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and that includes Spotify. By the way, Spotify is not a normal podcast app, and for that reason you can't actually get episodes of Luke's English Podcast Premium on Spotify. Just saying. So Erkam was the first who I thought would be the champion. He had something in the region of 10,000 minutes of Luke's English Podcast this year. Then D, just the letter D, I don't know this person's full name, came in with 18, in the region of 18,000 minutes. And then we had Anita, who just completely blew everyone else out of the water with her number of minutes, which was 41,821 minutes. Okay. And I crowned Anita the reigning champion. But then, guess what? Since then, someone else has come in with an even higher number. Anita, I'm sorry, but you've been dethroned already by Severin from Poland. I think I'm pronouncing her name correctly. If indeed Severin is a girl, I think you are. Does it really matter? I don't know. Anyway, so Severin from Poland, who got in touch with me to say that they had listened to my podcast for a grand total of 42,153 minutes this year. 42,153 minutes this year. So Severin from Poland is now the reigning champion of listening to Luke's English Podcast on Spotify this year. I wish that everyone else, all the other platforms, did this too, so that we could have a proper representative competition. But there you go, it's Severin. Congratulations. And I wrote back to Severin saying, oh my goodness, this is amazing. How did you do that? Have you managed to do anything else this year? Have you eaten? See, because I'm very funny, right? Have you eaten? And then I said, I'll mention this on the podcast. Is that okay by you? And Severin, am I saying your name correctly? You can let me know. Severin replied and said, I've eaten loads of chocolate for my brain to handle this. Ha ha ha. I've been listening on average 2 hours every single day and still have hundreds of episodes more to listen to. But it's always been a pure pleasure and fun for me listening to your podcast. Next year, I'm going to double it. Double the amount of hours listening to your podcast and, of course, amount of chocolate. And I hope my liver can handle this. And of course, mentioning this on the podcast is okay by me. Greetings from Wrocław in Poland. So there you go, listeners. But, you know, this is not over. It's not over yet. Because maybe there's one other person out there who's thinking right now, 42,153 minutes. Is that it? Is that all that you managed? Maybe there's one person who's got their Spotify Unwrapped ready and they're currently blowing the dust off their fingers, ready to send it to me. If that is you, then what are you waiting for? Just go for it. But otherwise, Severin is the current champion of 2023. Will this continue? I don't know. But if it doesn't continue, then Severin, you will be just the best person. Okay? Well done, everybody, even if you didn't do any of it. Okay? All right, fantastic. That's enough of this pre-ramble. Let's get stuck into episode 853. I really hope that you understand these conversations that I have with my friends, where we talk over each other sometimes, where we speak quite quickly. I know it's a challenge. Believe me, I do. I understand it's a challenge. That's always in my mind, right? That challenge. I'm always wrestling with that decision or with that sort of thought, those conflicting thoughts of, like, on one hand thinking I want to present these spontaneous conversations that happen at fairly natural speed, you know, and on the other hand I kind of think, oh, but I'm sure that this is going to alienate a lot of people in the audience who simply can't keep up. So, you know, if you do find it challenging, I understand how you feel. Hopefully, slightly shorter episodes make it a little bit easier to follow. But I've said before many, many times, okay, just do your best to continue. Just keep going, keep listening. You might feel a bit lost sometimes, then you find that you understand what's going on again, you know, and you continue, you persevere in that way, and slowly over time, you will find that you will build up the ability to understand more and more. All right, that's all I'll say. Let's start the jingle. Let's get back into this double episode. Okay, here we go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. So this is part two of a double episode, and I strongly recommend that you listen to part one of this first, okay? So please do listen to part one of this before you listen to this episode. So I'm assuming, if you're still with me, that you've heard part one, and so you just want to carry on with the trivia quizzing. In part one, I talked to my guests, Sarah and Fred, and got to know them. We talked about their new podcast, and then we got stuck into the trivia quizzing. And also kind of had a look at what it is that makes a good trivia quiz question. And Sarah gave a few good examples of trivia quiz questions, which I had to try and answer. But now it's my turn. I'm going to be the quiz master. And you'll see if I actually have come up with questions that are any good. You can decide whether I'm a good quiz master. And can you answer my questions? And all of my questions are related to the English language in some way. What a surprise. As an English teacher, you may have expected me to choose that topic. You probably thought, I bet he's going to choose the Beatles. No, all about the English language. So can you answer my questions? And can you learn a thing or two from the answers? And then we get to Fred's quiz questions, which are also very interesting indeed. So I hope you enjoy this. Let's see if you know the answers. Leave your comments in the comments section, wherever you're listening to this. And I'll speak to you briefly at the end. But for now, let's continue, and here we go. Okay, guys. Cool. So it's my turn now to quiz the two of you. Okay, now, guess what my topic is. I'm not as clever as you, Sarah, or as versed in quizzing methods as you, so I'm just going to tell you what the theme is, and there's no... Yeah.
To be fair to you, we've had a little bit more time to write trivia.
That's true. So I've gone with six questions about English language. The first couple of questions are about geography and culture in relation to the English language.
Is chuffed a bit positive or negative?
Chuffed a bit.
I can never remember. That's good, right?
It's good, yeah. Even though you're in bits at the end, it's you're really pleased.
It's chuffing. It's chuffing.
If you're chuffed to bits. Yeah.
I need some anti-chuffing powder.
So, ouch! I'm chuffed to bits because I got all the questions right.
Chuffed to bits for you.
Thank you.
Can you be chuffed to bits for... Yeah.
You can, indeed.
Anything,
you are.
Really.
You already
are. May
your
bits be chuffed.
My bits are getting chuffed over here.
Questions about geography and culture, and then some questions about spelling and pronunciation, okay? So the first question is, English is an official language in all of our countries of origin, obviously the UK and US, but also in Cameroon as well. Can you name one country from each of the seven continents? So I'm not as clever with my quiz questions. They're a bit more...
Can I be persnickety?
Yes.
English is not an official language of the US.
It's a de facto official language.
Okay. I'm just fact checking you. No, you're right.
Of course, you're right. Yeah. Can I add de facto because it sounds good?
It's a commonly spoken language.
Right. It's the predominant and therefore informally considered. Anyway.
We talk
it's the same in the UK. It's the same. There's no official language in the UK too, but it's just the most predominant one, English. Anyway, can you name one country from each of the seven continents with English as an official language, either legally or de facto? Right?
Okay.
And I want you to choose countries from outside the core Anglosphere, which includes the UK, USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand.
But Commonwealth is still okay. I mean, they'll mostly be Commonwealth.
Is still okay as well.
Seven continents.
So one country from each continent, if you can.
Can we leave out Antarctica?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the joke part of the question is that
hilarious.
Antarctica is just Antarctica.
And
so you
obviously
got one.
They speak English.
Antarcticese.
Yeah.
Antarctica. Thanks. Correct.
They speak science, which is in English.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the Norwegians there speak.
Okay, so...
We have a map here.
Yeah, we shouldn't look at it.
There's a map on the wall, which you can ignore if you want.
Oh, ignore it. So should we start with some obvious ones?
Yeah.
So in Europe...
Mm-hmm.
Which is just one? Can we try... Just, can we
one
name
is
more?
Enough. One is enough. I mean, there's low-hanging fruit here.
Well, I want to go with the less low-hanging fruit and say Malta.
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm not going to do the bell every time.
Please do. Oh, no.
You want the bell?
Sure.
I liked it.
Okay. Malta. Correct.
I didn't know about Malta.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, what were you going to say?
Ireland.
Ireland. Yeah.
That's the obvious.
Yeah. That was the obvious low-hanging fruit there. But Malta, yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's Europe.
Okay. You take your pick.
I forget there's a bunch.
Pick your favorite.
I prefer the neighbors, Nigeria.
Okay.
Nigeria. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Ring my bell! Oh, yeah.
Ring my bell. What else in Africa? Kenya?
Oh.
Kenya.
So much damage.
What else?
The trail of destruction.
Kenya, Tanzania, Ghana. The
Britain's trail of colonial destruction, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Belgians and the French were there.
There's another story for another time.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Spread the blame.
Yeah.
I guess my people also at some point.
We're all
probably
part of the soup in one way or another. So
we're all here together. Isn't that lovely?
What, Asia?
Asia. So I would tend to say Philippines.
Okay.
You would tend to say Philippines.
I would tend to we're conferring as a team.
Right.
My first was Singapore. that I forget there's a giant one in the middle that speaks English.
Oh, there's a giant one in the middle.
Yeah,
there is.
The giantest, I mean, a couple of, not China, but the other giant one.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, India.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. I would assume India.
Yeah, you got three right answers. Okay. And obviously India and Pakistan, but oh. Singapore and Philippines, of course. Yeah, and no doubt a few others as well. I'm not going to give the whole list right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. You got Asia.
That's
you got
Europe, Africa, Asia.
Yeah, and Africa. Yes.
We need a North American
North
country.
North America, South America, Oceania. Oceania.
You have a neat little island. North America?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's obviously Canada, but that's boring.
Oh, wait.
It's in the Anglosphere.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I apologize. I think maybe in North America, there is no other country that's not in the Anglosphere.
All the islands.
The
Caribbean counts, right?
Does the Caribbean count as North America?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Okay, let's go with that then.
Yeah.
What's the
Caribbean or Caribbean?
Either.
Yeah.
Either.
You say Caribbean, I say Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean?
Yeah, Caribbean.
And what'd you say?
Caribbean.
Caribbean.
I say both.
Caribbean?
Caribbean. I say Caribbean, mm-hmm. And you would just say Caribbean or Caribbean.
Caribbean. Caribbean Islands. Caribbean Islands.
I can't hear it anymore. I got saturated.
I think there's Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah, that's easy.
Jamaica. I'll say Jamaica.
Did you make her? Have you heard that joke? My wife's gone to the West Indies. Jamaica? No, she went of her own accord. And that's one that confuses everyone. Okay. Anyway. Yes, Jamaica. That's right. Congratulations. And then so Oceania is left.
Well, the two big ones.
He said big no, ones. They're in the
Anglosphere. Oh, no, they're not in the Anglosphere.
So Australia, else. New Zealand.
Mm. Australia, New Zealand, no.
I guess you can pick an island as well.
What's a...
Or the one just above Australia.
Just above Australia. Go for it.
It's, actually, I might have...
Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea. Oh, yeah, you got a few. Yes. You got a few little, sort of small islands. Fiji.
Oh, yeah. Fiji, Samoa, Tonga.
Kiribati, Marshall Islands, Micronesia. Macronesia isn't... I don't know where that is. No. Nauru, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga.
I've just done the... countries of the world on Sporkle so much, you have to understand.
Yeah, that's a good Sporkle quiz.
Yeah, I just...
Guyana. Yeah, okay. So you did it. You got your seven.
No. Well,
no?
We didn't do South America.
South America,
you
sorry.
You spoiled the last one.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Did I?
You just said Guyana.
Oh.
That was the one. I was trying to remember it. I was like, I know there's one. That's the one.
Yeah, it's Guyana. Yeah, well done. You got 7 out of 7. Congratulations. All right, that was question one. Where's my phone? All right, then. Woo-hoo. Let's go back Woo-hoo. To... So next...
That was a hard one in Guyana, actually.
That was hard. Would you have gotten it?
I would have had to go through
Yeah, because I think it's the only one.
Yeah, it's the only one.
Yeah. Mm. Shout out to listeners in Guyana and indeed any of the countries that we just mentioned or didn't mention. Shout out to all of
you. Or mispronounced.
Yes. Question number two. Official languages other than English in the UK. English is the de facto official language of the UK, but there are about 7 other native languages spoken there. Can you name 4 of them?
Oh, 4. Okay. So can I just say all the ones I know and then we can maybe talk about if they're dialects or languages?
Mm-hmm.
So there's Scots, Manx, there's Gaelic and Gallic, which are different, I think. There is Welsh. There's other things. I think that's my first. What do you have?
I had Scots. Sorry. I had Scots, Gaelic, and Welsh.
There's an English one as well that you have neglected to include.
Manx?
Oh, Manx, but that's not England. That's Isle of Man.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Yeah. I thought it was Manchester.
The Gallagher brothers.
Oops.
No.
I mean, but you pulled it, so...
it's good that you got Manx, though. That's obscure.
Yeah, that's it. Is another one in England?
There's one in England.
Were those all right?
No, you were absolutely right. Oh. No, very good. Like very good. Yeah,
like
so
like a northern thing.
So we got all four. We
got you've got it. You got the answer right. So let me just recap. Obviously, English.
A Midland thing?
No, the missing one is way down in the south.
Oh, is it?
I know.
Ahar.
Got it. Cornish.
Cornish,
exactly.
Like the pasties.
Like Cornish pasties and pirates. So obviously, number one is English. About 60 million people speak it. It's a Germanic language. Number two is Scots, as you said, or Ulster Scots, which apparently is about 1.8, 1.9 million people in Scotland and Northern Ireland. It's a Germanic language too, closely related to English. Third one is Welsh, about 1.1, 1.2 million people speak it in Wales, mostly. It's a Celtic language. There's number four is actually the Irish language. About 95,000 people in the UK speak Irish in Northern Ireland and also Irish communities in major cities in the rest of the country, like Liverpool, Manchester, Glasgow, London, where there are large Irish communities. It's a Celtic language. Then you've got the Anglo-Romani dialect.
Okay.
Do you know about that?
No.
There's apparently over 90,000 speakers of this language. It's associated with Romanichal people, Romani people, gypsy travellers in the United Kingdom, and we have quite a lot of them as well. So they have their own language. In sixth place is the Scottish Gaelic dialect,
okay,
which is another Celtic language, but this one from Scotland, about 87,000 speakers. And then number seven is the Shelter dialect, which is also considered a language, and that's Irish gypsies. And then Cornish is last in the list here. About 600 people, only 600 people actually speak it. And then Manx, which is from the Isle of Man, was not on my list because I think no one speaks it anymore. Hello, it's time for me to interrupt the episode again. How's it going? Are you doing all right? Did you manage to answer any of these questions? Do you understand what's going on? I hope so. Did you know that there were more languages other than just English and maybe Welsh in the United Kingdom? Anyway, a point here about the Manx language. I just said that I thought that no one actually speaks it anymore. This is not true. People do speak Manx. In fact, the language has been revived, and apparently these days about 1,800 residents of the Isle of Man are fluent in reading, writing, speaking, and I suppose listening to the Manx language. And the Manx language is a very important part of the heritage and culture of the Isle of Man. Where is the Isle of Man, you might be thinking? Well, it's a small island just off the northwest coast of England. It's in the Irish Sea. So it just sits there in the sea between the northwest coast of England and the coast of Northern Ireland. There it is. It's called the Isle of Man. The language there is called Manx. And yes, people still speak it. So it has survived and it continues to survive. So there you go, Manx. All right? Right.
Right.
I'm ringing the bell again, just in case anyone's falling asleep. Spelling and pronunciation is now what we're going to move into. Question three, what pangram? Do you know what a pangram is?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Should I try to define it?
Yeah, go on.
It's a sentence that contains all of the letters of a given alphabet in that language. Yeah.
Every letter of the alphabet in one sentence. What pangram involving several animals is commonly used in touch typing practice?
So I think are we all old enough to have been to typing classes?
Yeah, me for sure. Yeah.
No, I just didn't get any, but I did open the fonts file a lot.
Okay, you open the font file.
You double click on the font and then it does this window with that phrase like written bold italics.
What is it? Because I always get one or two words mixed up.
Too.
So it's the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog? No.
No.
I mean, there are more, but...
Jumped over... Wait, do we have all the difficult letters? F-Q.
The quick, sly fox jumped over the lazy brown dog.
Ooh. That's nice.
Do you have the R? Is there an R in there?
Brown.
Brown. So the I'll give you the point. Well done.
I know that there's a different version of that, but I think that works as a pangram.
I think quicks, because I mean the hardest is Q, quick, lazy,
Z,
W, brown,
X,
fox.
X, fox, fox. Yeah, F O X. I think that's
so. The one that I was looking for, but you got close enough, is the quick red fox.
The
quick red fox
jumped over the lazy brown dog.
Oh.
And yeah,
you get everything.
Every letter of the alphabet is included in that sentence. Some of them more than once.
I've never heard the red.
But maybe
red, bun.
Red is not necessary because R. We've got R in over. We've got E in over. We've got D in dog.
Yeah.
So actually, the word red it could just be the quick fox jumped over the lazy brown dog. But it's quite nice to have red fox, brown dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well done. You're doing great. Question number five. What is the most... This is just dead easy and an example of a kind of a bad quiz question because it's just sort of like, there's nothing interesting in the question at all.
Oh, maybe we could talk about how we would rewrite it.
Ooh.
Okay, please do that. So here's the question. What is the most common letter of the alphabet? Clue, it's also in the most common word.
I mean, I guess it would be E.
Oh, yeah, it's E. I think it's E too.
And the most common word is the.
You say the. I say the.
The.
Yes. Congratulations. You got it right.
Are we writing that?
I would. You know what I would do is I would say, who was. What was. Oh, gosh. I'm not going to remember the name. The book that was written without a letter E.
I was thinking about the same thing.
Yeah, you would say the most common letter in the alphabet, this entire book was written without using it. Yeah, maybe.
So a guy wrote a book, an entire book, without using the letter E. So this could be the more interesting version of the question.
Yeah.
So John
without
Smith...
Without using what letter, the most common in the language.
Right, sort of John Smith, whose name doesn't include an E... wrote a book, this book, which amazingly didn't include one letter, the most commonly occurring letter in the English language, which is, and then a much more interesting version of the question. Okay.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, number six. And hopefully this one, it does what you did before where it gives you the answers in, it kind of gives you the answers in the, or maybe you already know, there's a good chance that you'll already know anyway. So number six, make the sound, can you, is a question.
Make the sound, can you?
Make the sound, can you? So can you make the sound of a voiced labiodental fricative? Now you can work that out from the words. Voiced labiodental
fricative. So something with your lips and your teeth making touching friction.
Lips and teeth. That's
the
labiodental.
Lips, the tip of the tongue.
And fricative. Lips, teeth, fricative.
Vibration, fricative.
Voiced,
friction.
Voiced rather than unvoiced because there's voiced sounds and unvoiced sounds.
Versus aw.
No, they're both voiced. So an example.
So I think I would. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Unvoiced might be like a
correct,
like a th sound.
Nice.
And a voice is when the voice comes out.
Okay, so that's
so like
that's what you just did was an unvoiced dental fricative.
Yes. Yeah.
Like in Thursday,
yeah.
Right? That's a dental fricative, unvoiced.
Right.
We're looking for a voiced labiodental fricative.
Labiodental.
So maybe, like, not like...
So not the tongue and the teeth, which is th, but we need the lip and the teeth.
Oh, no.
My chair just collapsed. Look at the drama on this podcast.
You saved yourself, though.
So not only have some of my audience members collapsed listening to this long episode, but the seat I was sitting on literally just collapsed underneath me.
Oh, dear.
From the weight, just from the pure weight of information that's been transferred during this episode.
I think that even AI can figure out the highlight.
I don't know what I'm going to do now.
What are you going
to do? Am I just going to stand here like this with my head above the frame of the camera? I don't know. I tell you what. I think there's a chair in the hallway outside.
I was about to say, can we just pause and then...
So we can pause or you can continue to confer about what a labiodental fricative might be.
What a disaster.
I'll be back with a chair in just a moment.
A few moments later.
I'm really sad about that. I really like that stool with the orange seat on it.
You
can
get it fixed.
Maybe you get it fixed, yeah. So but that's the first time that's ever happened in over 850 episodes of this podcast that the seat has actually given way underneath me during the recording. Anyway, so have you got your answer then? Labiodental?
No.
Fricative? Voiced?
Voice. So lips and teeth. Puh is just labio.
And that's not... do you want me to give my commentary or shall I just let you go?
Wait, give us a second. Give us a second. Yeah. So
we can figure it out.
Fricative is like, is it friction?
It sounds like it.
I mean, he told you that that is unvoiced dental fricative.
Yeah, so I guess... this is getting into like linguistics territory. Mm-hmm. This is
which
beyond...
I like the IPA.
All yeah. Right.
I like to drink IPA. Mm-hmm. And... use it to help them.
Use it to fart. Put my brand.
Okay.
I don't get a labiodental, like...
So wait, let's just go through all the sounds you can make. Like, this is going to be fun.
Okay. Ta. What's ta? Ta, dental,
ta. Ta. Ta.
There's no lips. There's no lips.
No, there's no lips.
What do lips
so what
do?
Is, so you know the game satouche or satouche pas?
Ah, yeah. Like ma is very labial.
Ma, but no dental.
Do you want me to guide you through this? Because it's just you guys making noises.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait.
What about mwah?
Hold on. P and ba, these are plosives.
Yeah, which we know in sound editing land.
Yeah. Plosives, yeah. P and ba. So p is an unvoiced labial plosive because you can't hear the voice. P. And ba. You can hear the, that's the voice there. That's voiced and unvoiced consonant sounds.
Right.
In that case, labial plosives. Right. But we're looking for a fricative. So that's one where the air passes through. There's friction between the different parts. So if what did we have before? You can hear that friction of the air passing between the tongue and the teeth. But I want
dental
labial. So you need to put your teeth against one of your lips and make the air pass through with your voice in there too. So, teeth.
It's an English sound.
It absolutely is used all the time in English. So, teeth here against your bottom lip. And
oh, is it a...
That's the answer. It's...
Like violin.
Yeah, that's the voiced labiodental. Like
voiced.
And the unvoiced is like in...
Fricative.
Frickin' fricatives.
Wow.
Frickadilly.
There you go. I'm afraid you didn't get that answer right.
We didn't.
But it was maybe a little bit too annoying for you to... to get it right. But there you go. You got 5 out of 6, which is absolutely a pass.
Thank you.
That's a first in my university. There you go. Great.
Thanks, Luke.
All right. You're welcome.
That was fun.
Fred, it's your turn then.
Yeah, sure.
Finally, to quiz me then. So this is going to be the last round. And then we're going to wrap things up before another chair collapses under one of us.
Are you ready for some trivia?
I'm ready, Fred. I'm ready for trivia, yes.
Question one.
Mm-hmm.
The colossal squid.
The colossal squid, yeah. Yes.
P- possesses the largest of which type of organ among living creatures, with a diameter of 27 centimeters, which is larger than the average human head.
So, yeah. The colossal squid has got the largest organ of in the world. Mm-hmm. Which organ is it?
Yes.
And how big is it again? It's bigger than the...
27 centimeters.
27 centimeters in diameter.
Yes.
In diameter, 27 centimeters. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Doesn't a squid have a beak? Is this like, you know, like the way birds have beaks? Doesn't in the... No, you're looking at me like, what is he talking? What, beak?
I've heard that.
Yeah? I see what you mean. It took me a second, but now I get it.
Look,
it
birds,
doesn't have, I mean, it, yeah, anyways.
Birds have beaks, and octopuses and squids don't have beaks. No, they don't.
To go back.
In the middle, you know.
Yeah, I knew what you were talking about.
Like where their mouth is.
Yeah.
To go back to elements of the question, the same way.
Yeah.
With a diameter of 27 centimeters.
27 centimeters.
The diameter.
That's the diameter of it. Yeah. Okay.
Diameter so, usually refers to
the size across the circle. So it's round. Yes. So it's round. So it's eye or mouth or one of the other ruder orifices of the animal kingdom body.
It's an orifice, an organ?
Oh, it's an organ, right. So it's not an... Okay. Oh, my God. Eye.
It's the eye.
Eye, Captain. So they've got the largest eye in the world.
Largest eye of the living kingdom.
Really?
Indeed.
Wow.
Giant eyes.
Massive.
And possibly beaks, but let's not get into that.
Okay, I've got that right. Bing.
Why don't I ding?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be the dinger.
Okay. Ring his.
Ring a ding ding.
Question two. Which movie from 2008 starring Amanda Seyfried was followed in 2017 by a sequel in which Cher and Andy Garcia performed together the song Fernando?
Fernando. Yeah, which is a song by ABBA. And Cher and Andy Garcia, they performed the song. So it's kind of a musical which features ABBA songs, and Amanda Seyfried was in it. It's Mamma Mia.
Woo!
Yes.
Ding that.
All right.
Well sorted.
So we got
two out of two.
We got Mamma Mia. Mm-hmm.
Number three. Which bowling term is...
Bowling. Like 10-pin bowl... 10-pin? Do you call it 10-pin bowling?
Which bowling term...
Sorry. It's different types of bowling.
The question is written as is.
Go on, sorry.
Which bowling term is also the title of a memoir published in 2022 by the fifth person in line for the British Crown?
Whoa. Let's just unpack that question again for me. Which
bowling term is also the title of a memoir published in 2022, which is recent, by the fifth person in line for the British Crown?
Okay, let's go with the end. The fifth person in line for the British Crown. So you got to King Charles. When he dies, it's going to be William. That's one. Then William's three kids. And then Prince Harry. So it's Prince Harry. What was the bloody book called? Was it called... It wasn't called...
It's also a bowling term.
Strike. Was it called Strike? Strike! The new army thriller from Prince Harry.
It was much sadder.
Spare. It's called Spare, isn't it?
You see the... Ding it! Well
spare,
done.
Spare, because he's just spare. He's on the side. Have you got anyone got a spare royal that no one's using, that no one needs? Yeah, you can have Prince Harry. There you go, America. We don't want him.
Figure it out perfectly.
That was a well-written question, see?
Yeah.
Got you there. It.
That's really good.
Question four. The Global Navigation Satellite System, launched by the European Union in 2011.
Yeah.
Global Navigation Satellite System. Launched by the EU in 2011, is named after which 17th century scientist... known for his observations of the moons of Jupiter and the rings of Saturn?
Oh, my God. Global Navigation Satellite System, launched by the EU in 2011, named after a 17th century scientist who was really interested in the rings of Saturn.
And the moons of Jupiter.
And the moons
of
Jupiter. I think
he was the first to observe both.
The first one to observe both. Oh, gosh. Galileo? No, I'm not sure. I don't know, actually. I don't really know. Galileo.
Galileo.
It's Galileo. Of course it is. Yeah, I should be more confident in my knowledge of 17th century scientist, astrologer type guys.
Well done, well done.
All right. Galileo.
So that was four questions. Question five.
I'm trying to work out the theme.
Good, you've learned how it works.
Mamma Mia, I spare Galileo.
Final question. Question five before the question is revealed.
Right.
In Shakespeare's play Macbeth, which adverb of time is spoken three times at the beginning of Macbeth's last soliloquy, which takes place after he's told that Lady Macbeth has died?
You're calling it an adverb? Because I'm thinking, is it tomorrow, 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 and tomorrow? But
how would you define tomorrow?
Isn't it a noun? I'm going to do it tomorrow. Hello, this is me interrupting again, and I feel it's necessary to just explain a couple of things. Right, so Fred has just asked me his fifth question, which is this. In Shakespeare's play Macbeth, which adverb of time is spoken three times at the beginning of Macbeth's last soliloquy, which takes place after he is told that Lady Macbeth has died? So a soliloquy is a sort of a speech, a monologue in which a character speaks their thoughts out loud. And there are a number of these soliloquies in Macbeth. The one that's near the end of the play, which is famous, as Fred said in his question, it takes place after Lady Macbeth has died. And Macbeth says, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So you may have picked up from that Macbeth is, well, he's not in a very good mood, and he's basically decided that life and time is just meaningless, and that every tomorrow just comes in slowly but surely, every day is the same, and now that his wife has died, time is just a horrible burden, and his destiny is meaningless. Right, just kind of typical Shakespearean tragedy stuff. But anyway, the question again. All right, you okay? You're still with me. Right, so the question again. Which adverb of time is spoken three times at the beginning of this soliloquy? Now, it's tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow. So the answer is tomorrow. But you heard me there going, what, tomorrow? You're describing it as an adverb? And Fred says, how would you describe it? And I'd sort of go, it's a noun, isn't it? Right. So what you're hearing is the cogs in my brain trying to process what part of speech the word tomorrow is. What do you think? Is tomorrow a noun or is it an adverb? Okay. Who's right? Is Fred right? Am I right? Is it possible that Luke from Luke's English Podcast could be wrong about a language question? Well, the fact is that the word tomorrow is both a noun and an adverb. So Fred is right. I'm right. We're both right. So tomorrow can be a noun. For example, tomorrow is the day after today. So that's a noun, right? It's the name of the day after today. But also, yeah, Fred is absolutely right. Tomorrow is also an adverb, which describes when a verb happens. For example, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it in the morning. I'll do it quickly, right? All of those, quickly, in the morning, tomorrow, they're all essentially adverbs. So there you go. That's, I just wanted to clarify that, and also to defend my reputation, just in case you heard me going, isn't it a noun? Oh yeah, it's an adverb. I just wanted to defend my reputation just in case it crumbled even slightly. Okay, all right, so let's get back to the quiz then. And here we go. You're calling it an adverb? Because I'm thinking, is it tomorrow? Tomorrow, and tomorrow, but...
How would you define tomorrow?
Isn't it a noun? I'm going to do it tomorrow.
I'll do my laundry tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. How are you going to do your laundry? When are you going to do your laundry? Tomorrow. Ah, yeah. It must be an adverb then. Tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
I had the same question when I heard this. Because I psyched myself out and I had the right answer. And then I crossed it out.
You were sure it was a noun.
I was like, this doesn't seem like an adverb to me.
It doesn't have L-Y on the end. It can't be an adverb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Question 6. All the answers of this round are lyrics to an English language hit song released in 1975.
Right. So, Mamma Mia and... it's got to be Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Okay.
Just because that's the only song that I can think of with the word Mamma Mia in it that's not the song Mamma Mia by ABBA. Does it have the word Mamma Mia in it? Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, let him go, Beelzebub. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
What is your other answer?
So, other one is I see a little silhouette of him. No, that's not the same word. That's different. I don't remember the reference.
Any other answer?
You mean another song?
No.
So we've got Mamma Mia, we had
had the scientist.
I can't remember the reference to the word I in the song, but anyway,
we had
scientist Galileo.
We had the
Galileo,
memoir.
Galileo Figaro.
We had the bowling term.
Spare. Yeah. I'm trying to remember all the lyrics to flipping Bohemian Rhapsody.
It's not the end of the question anyway, so...
I think it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Let's say you're right.
Yeah, okay.
What are the second and penultimate words heard in the song? That's the question.
Oh, God.
So, pretty much, when you press play on that song, if you think it's...
I'm trying to remember how the song begins.
There's so many chapters of that song.
There are.
Should have chapter markers.
Second word you hear, and then the penultimate, first to last.
Yeah.
Next to last.
Yeah. Next to last. Yeah. Last but one word. So the
penultimate.
Second word and penultimate word. We need to edit here while my brain tries to remember the beginning of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember the beginning of it. I mean, I would sing it, but it'll be some point in the middle. Down, oh, no.
Go back.
Yeah.
Rewind.
I'm trying to rewind. Mm-hmm. It starts with the piano, doesn't it? Mama just killed a man. Is that the first line? It's not.
That's what I thought it was.
A few things happened before that.
His head pulled my trigger now. Go back. What's the first line?
Do you want to try
song?
the end?
Do you know the Muppet version? Maybe that's going to help.
No, I don't know the Muppet version. So, nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me. Two? Can't be the word two. I don't know, Fred. I'm sorry. I'd love to sit here and speculate, but let's just get the answer.
The song begins with a high-pitched choir section.
Yeah. Is this the real life? This and
good.
Two? Nothing really matters to me. I don't remember. Anyway, the wind blows. Doesn't really matter. Isn't that the last line of the song? I don't know. Anyway, the wind blows.
Boom.
Oh, okay. So it's this and wind.
Woo! Congratulations. Ding that bell.
God, that was a long, tortuous process, but we got there in the end.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Congratulations. Well, in real, like, life context, this is a thing with a team, so...
Yeah.
No one does it on their own.
I'm imagining the pub situation where you ask that question, everyone is on these tables trying to sing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
And that must be quite funny.
Forget the beginning or the end, and yes.
That's a good one, because everyone knows that song. Well, a lot of people know that song.
Yeah.
We've heard it so many times, and it's a bit of a maze, isn't it? To try and remember the first line and the last line. Yeah, it must be very funny to watch five tables of people all trying to sing different parts of Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
I did a music round once where I just played different instrumental solos, and you just had to name the instrument. So one of them was Bohemian Rhapsody on a marimba, except I couldn't get control back of the bar because people just started singing it and wouldn't stop.
Right.
Yeah, with some songs, it just turns into like massive karaoke. You have to be careful.
Yeah, most of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just to wrap things up here, in the land of quizzing that we've journeyed to, it's been a wonderful journey. Paris Quiz Mistress and her protege, quizzing son, Fred Iango. Not an Alias podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts if you want more quizzing fun. Also on Instagram, Fred, are you online? As well as being part of the podcast, do you have your own comedy stuff as well? Do you want to tell everyone about that too?
Fred me up on Instagram. It's Fred me up.
Okay.
And I also say always, I haven't checked that recently, but chess.com or Light Chess, if you play chess. I'm Fred me up. I should check my my chess app. Maybe I have like people I promote it, but then I haven't played chess recently. So
it's basically, if you want to wait to play chess with Fred, then go to chess.com and find me up.
Friend me and like challenge me to a nice day challenge, so we don't have to like rush. We have you're busy people.
Sure.
That's it for me.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you very much for taking part and for asking me questions, which I somehow managed to get right, largely thanks to the way the questions were written. If they hadn't been written that way, I wouldn't have understood them. And can we just sort of, I don't know.
R.I.P.
In memoriam?
Just talk about the chair, the stool that died during the episode. It's a sad moment, but, everything must pass ultimately.
Is this the thumbnail of the episode?
I don't know. It'd be very confusing. Just you holding up an orange vinyl seat from my stool. Anyway,
is this orange?
Guys, thanks so much. Lovely to talk to you. Let's have lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Always great coming here.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Okay.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Bye. So that was Sarah and Fred back on the podcast. Remember, their show is called Not an Alias Podcast, because it is not an Alias podcast. It's actually a trivia podcast with maybe one or two little references to that TV series from the 2000s called Alias with Jennifer Garner in it. But you don't have to be a fan of that in order to enjoy the wonderful trivia quizzing that is available in their podcast, Not an Alias Podcast. And I was in episodes 18, 19, and 20. Okay, you'll find links in the description on the page for this episode on my website. You will find some embedded audio players and all the rest of it. So you can just check those things out. That's the end of this episode. Okay, thank you so much for listening all the way up until this point. You are it's amazing. I mean, either you are asleep or you're a skeleton or you are just loving it. I don't know. Anyway, leave me your comments in the comments section. Did you understand the questions? Did you get the questions right? If you want, what would be really good is you could create your own quiz questions and write them in the comments section. That could be fun. And I would be willing to try to answer them. Okay, so consider doing that. Consider making a quiz question and putting it in the comments section. There's a little challenge for you right at the end of the episode. Okay, nice one. I'll speak to you again soon on the podcast in some form. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.